I am continuing this morning with the theme, Our God is Able. And I'm going to read a scripture out of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to that, follow along as I read. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. God is able to make all grace abound to you, to us. First of all, let's think about this concept of grace. I'm sure you've all heard that the word grace, as used in the Bible, means God's unmerited favor. In other words, it is something He gives to us in spite of that fact that we do not deserve it. He gives us His favor, undeserving as we may be, because He loves us. In a human family, it's really not a good thing if parents show partiality of one child over another. We call that favoritism. And as you know, that's what happened to Joseph in the Old Testament. And that did not turn out well as far as his brothers were concerned and as far as Joseph himself was concerned. Later it did, but God used it to bring good out of it. But as far as one child receiving more favor than another, that is not a good thing in a human family. But it does happen. But not the way God dispenses His grace. For there is no partiality with God. There's no favoritism. He offers His grace freely to everyone. Peter says that God is long-suffering, doesn't want anyone to perish. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus, who took upon Himself our penalty for sin. Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, we escape the judgment that we deserve, and we're given life instead. That's what grace is all about. We receive something that we do not deserve. We receive it not because of us, but because of the Lord. Because of His love, because He is gracious, because He is full of mercy, because He wants to extend that grace to us. Now, does that mean everyone will accept God's grace and receive His favor? Sadly, no. It's a choice that we all have to make. When we do accept God's grace, we receive His favor, which means or includes His watch care over us. Through His care, God provides for us, protects us, helps us in our times of need, heals us, delivers us, stands by us, and takes our part, and promises to be with us always. More than just meeting all of our needs, He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. And that's what He really is trying to accomplish through His grace. That is possible for us to do because of what Jesus did on the cross. I believe that through the Holy Spirit, God is constantly reaching out to people, offering His grace to them. seeking to bring them into that relationship with Him. Extending that offer, it makes you wonder why anyone would reject such a gracious offer from the Lord, but we know that people do. Looking back on this passage in 2 Corinthians, we see that if we put it into context, it's mainly about giving. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about earlier. That's what he talks about later on. I realize that Paul starts with how much we receive from the Lord. We receive His grace. We receive all sufficiency. We receive an abundance. There's three key words in this passage, and they are all, always, and every. He makes all grace abound to us. We always have all sufficiency in all things, and we have an abundance. Paul is simply pointing out that it's in our Heavenly Father's heart, including His will, to bless His people. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I believe it's true. It is in our Father's heart to bless His people. Here's another thought. The reason Paul begins with receiving is that we cannot give until we first receive. Yes, in the book of Acts, we are told in the words of Jesus that it is more blessed to give than to receive. But sometimes it's more necessary to receive so that we are able to give before we can give. We can't give what we don't have. So we need to receive from the hand of the Lord. Notice what Paul is saying. God wants us to have all sufficiency. I don't know what that means to you. But to me, it says that God wants us to have enough to meet all of our needs. All of our needs. And enough left over to be able to share with others. That's sufficiency. Because of God's grace, we should always have all sufficiency, and we should have it in abundance. I've heard some people say, I don't deserve anything from the Lord, and that's why I don't ask Him for anything. I don't believe that I'm in line to receive any of God's blessings because of the kind of things I've done and the kind of person I've been. Sometimes that's a true thing, but it's not the reason God gives. It's not the reason why God gives to us. He gives out of His grace. Out of His grace. Not because we deserve it. Not because we have done anything to make us in line to receive His blessings. But because of His grace. It is a false sense of humility if someone says, I just don't deserve anything from God. Therefore, I don't expect anything from Him. If someone comes up to you and says, now I have something I want to give to you. I have a present for you. I have a blessing for you. I want to give it to you. And all you have to do is ask for it. We say, oh, I couldn't possibly ask because I'm not worthy or I don't deserve it. Now that would be kind of dumb, wouldn't it? It's there. It's ours. He wants us to have it, and all we have to do is reach out and receive it. God has no problem with giving. Sometimes we have a problem with receiving for some reason or another. And you know, sometimes we can see the evidence of that in our lives and in the church, that there's just not enough. There's not enough. Not because God doesn't have it, or not because God won't give it, but because we don't expect it, and we don't think we deserve it. We don't understand the grace of God, my friends. In James' letter, we are told that there are two reasons why we don't have more. First of all, we don't have because we don't ask. God has all that we have need of. As I've said before, He's not limited whatever. There is no shortage in heaven. Let me say that again. There is no shortage in heaven. There is more than we have need of. God wants to supply all of our needs. It's available to us. But we have to ask. We have to put aside our sense of self-sufficiency, our pride, our false humility, and simply ask. It's not complicated and it's not hard. We must ask in faith, believing. Believing that God hears us, that He will answer us, that He wants to bless us, that He wants to meet our needs. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. There's a song from the musical Godspell called Every Good Gift. I like that song because what it says is true. Every good gift comes from the Lord, and He wants to give those gifts to us. Our God is a good God. Would you say amen to that? And our God wants to give good gifts to His people. He wants to bless His people. And He loves to do that. But we must ask. We must come to Him. We may say, Father, I have need of this, or I have need of that. And put it in His hands. Trust Him and believe. And watch what God will do. Yes, God does want to bless His people. But the question is, what is the purpose in all of this? Well, there's another reason, isn't there, why we don't sometimes receive. And that's what James says. Because we don't have more. The reason is we don't ask, or we ask amiss, that we may spend it on our own pleasures. Now we're getting down to the very heart of what this receiving, giving thing is all about. The purpose behind it all. We see the answer plainly in our scripture from 2 Corinthians, and here it is again. We, always having all that we have need of, will abound in every good work. We, always having all that we have need of, will abound in every good work. That's God's way of providing, not only for us, but for others as well. God does not give us an abundance so that we can hoard it or selfishly use it to support an extravagant lifestyle, no matter what some of the TV preachers say. He's not interested in prospering us so that we can enjoy living it up, having this and that and the other, big things, especially if that makes us more selfish, which it probably does. I was reading a report last week of some of the ways the people in Hollywood live. Now, I don't begrudge the people who work hard day in and day out and receive things as a result of that. But the Hollywood people who make so much money doing so little and then live like kings and queens are probably better than they do. Well, that sort of irks me. I remember a TV program I was watching, and this particular man lost his job, and his friend came to him and said, I have an idea. Why don't you go into acting? And he said, oh, I could never do that. I could never be an actor. And the other man said, why not? He said, how hard can it be? And you know, he's right. It isn't hard. I've done it myself a number of times. And it's not hard. So for people to be paid outlandish salaries for something most anyone could do and then act like it's such a difficult thing is preposterous. Remember the parable Jesus told about the rich farmer? He was really prosperous. He had so much he couldn't decide what to do with it. How would you like that problem? Has so much, you just can't figure out what to do with it all. Sort of sounds like some of the Hollywood types and other very wealthy people. What did the rich man in Jesus' story decide to do? You all know. He decided to build even bigger barns so that he could store more grain, so that he could lay up more wealth. And he thought by doing that, he would not only be prosperous, but he would be secure. And he found out how wrong he was. For that very day, the Lord came to him and required his soul of him. And then the question was asked, now, whose will these things be? Hoarding things away, storing up stuff. And then we come to the end of life. And what happens to it? Well, we don't take it with us, that's for sure. We just leave it behind for everybody to fight over. And they do too. He was not rich toward God, we are told. We think about all the good that man could have accomplished with his wealth. That's what God is looking for when he blesses people with abundance. According to our scripture from 2 Corinthians, because of his grace, God desires to give to each of us so that we have enough to meet our needs. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us that our Heavenly Father knows what we have need of, so it's foolish for us to worry about it, about our needs. In addition to that, our Heavenly Father wants to provide more than enough so that we can share with others. The question that we have to ask is, when we receive that more than enough, will we? Will we share? He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. So that we can be a channel of his blessing through which he provides his blessing. And then through that channel that he brings that blessing forth, he can bless the lives of others, touch other people, help them, bless them. We become channels of God's blessing. What happens when we hoard his blessings or use them selfishly on ourselves? It stops up the channel. Like putting a dam across a river. That is what has happened to so much of the wealth in the world. It has been, the channels have been plugged up. And therefore, few people have much, but many others have little or nothing. Think how much good could be accomplished if everyone had this sharing attitude. Now, this is not something the government should be advocating or pushing or trying to get us to do. Income equality. Have you heard that phrase? This is not the government's business. This is something that grows out of an attitude of gratitude and generosity. Something that the Lord wants us to do. Remember when God chose Israel to be his special people? They weren't chosen because they were special. They were special because they were chosen. God had a purpose in choosing them, for not only did he want to show the world what a blessed nation looks like, he also wanted them to be an example and share with the world the knowledge of the one true God, so that the whole world would come to know him and serve him. But they didn't do it. They became possessive. Would not share. Locked up the blessings. And they dammed up the channel of blessing. and they failed in that way. I believe that God wants to bless His people. I believe that God also wants His people to share the blessings that He has given to them, so that they become blessings given through them. Do you get that distinction? They receive the blessing, then they come to them, and then they allow the blessings to flow through them to others. How would you like to be one through whom God pours out His blessings into the lives of others? How would you like to be just one that God uses in that way? You can, you know. We all can. What we have to realize is that we are not the source. Our Heavenly Father is the source through the grace that He gives to us, because He supplies. He is the one who supplies, and not us. He is the one that deserves all the credit as a result. As the Apostle Paul said, all of this causes thanksgiving through us to God. In other words, God receives all of the glory. That's what it's all about. He is the one who gets the credit. He is the one who gets the glory. So here are the three requisites to being a receiver and a giver of God's grace. Number one, we ask Him to meet all of our needs. Number two, we gratefully share His blessings. And number three, we are always careful to give God the glory. Now, if we can do that, if we will do that, we can be a channel of God's blessing. He can flow His blessing into our lives and through our lives out into the world to touch the lives of many other people. Annie Johnson Flint has written these words about grace. I'm going to close with that. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do believe that You are a good God and that You want to give good gifts to us, Your children. But more than that, Father, You want to flow those blessings to our lives so that they may also flow out of our lives into the lives of other people. Help us to be a channel, Father, through whom You share Your good blessings with those in need. And use us, Father. Use us, because You have blessed us so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. The song that we'll be singing in, as our invitation hymn this morning, if you'll notice the words in particular, because they're especially relevant to what we've been talking about, what I've been talking about this morning, and especially that last verse of this song. So as we sing this song together, just say to yourself, I want to be that person. I want to be one of those persons. I want to be that person that God uses to bless and to share the blessings with other people.